is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Good morning.
Good Thursday morning, Thursday, August 9th, 2007. The program is Catholic Connection. My name is Teresa Tomeo. Good to be with you on the show this morning. And thanks to many of you who called in and were listening to the program yesterday afternoon, Al Cresta's Cresta in the Afternoon. It was our big Cresta Fiesta where we had a big celebration here in southeastern Michigan, Ann Arbor Territory, where Ave Maria Radio broadcasts from and which is the producer of this program, Catholic Connection, as well as Cresta in the Afternoon. Big celebration for Al, 20 years in religious broadcasting, and it was just a delight and a pleasure to see so many of our listeners in person. We had a reception and, of course, a live broadcast at Al's Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan, of Christ the King, which is right across from Domino's Farms, where our studios are located. And joined from a lot of folks by phone interviews. We had Dr. Ray Guarendi and many folks who called in, very familiar voices to you out there in the EWTN listening audience. And then we also had some in-studio guests, including Steve Ray, which I knew you had the opportunity to hear yesterday in the National Hour of Al show, which was just so moving. Steve Ray, of course, is a convert to the faith and one of the most prominent speakers out there now in apologetics. He's an author, and he was on this program just a couple of days ago talking about the Feast of the Transfiguration. But Al Cresta was significant in his conversion to the Catholic Church. Al was significant in a lot of people's lives in terms of their faith journey. So we're just so grateful to be able to celebrate 20 years in religious broadcasting, as well as Al's vision for Catholic radio, not only on a local perspective in Michigan, but also on a national perspective. As we mentioned yesterday, working so closely with the folks at EWTN and the other Catholic apostolates around the country. So again, congratulations to Al Cresta, 20 years of religious broadcasting, and keep him and, of course, Ave Maria Radio and all of the Catholic radio apostolates, including EWTN, of course, in your prayers. I want to give you a little praise report. We had a big breaking news story locally in terms of pro-life issues in Michigan. We announced it yesterday on Al's show, but that was on the regional, the local portion, so you may not have heard it if you're outside of the Midwest area. We have a wonderful pro-life activist, many of them in the state of Michigan. We're a very active pro-life state, even though we have somewhat liberal leaders in office right now. We do have a very strong chapter of Right to Life in Michigan, as well as several other pro-life organizations. Dr. Monica Miller, who's a wonderful Catholic author, speaker, theologian. You may have seen her, actually, on Doug Keck's Bookmark. When the movie The Passion came out, Monica wrote a beautiful book about that film called The Theology of the Passion, where she looked at the theology of the Passion of the Christ in the movie and, you know, looked at it in terms of what the Church has to say about the Passion of our Lord. Anyway, she's very involved, as I said, in the pro-life community, and she works with a group called Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. And she came on the air in my local hour on Tuesday to tell me about the possibility, very real possibility, of another abortion mill opening up in suburban Detroit. Well, as a result of her interview and subsequent phone calls by many of our listeners in Michigan, we ended up putting some pressure on the people involved who turned out not even knowing about this particular lease and what was happening. They were not given all the details. They were not aware of all the transactions and were very, very upset to learn that an abortionist would be moving into their professional building. And so they started to make phone calls, other people started to make phone calls, and the wheels started to turn. And we learned yesterday that the lease had been broken with the abortionist. And so for now, we, at least in terms of working with this pro-life group and getting the word out on Catholic radio, were successful in shutting down at least one abortion mill, and this one being in southeastern Michigan. This is what happens when you have radio networks like this. Like EWTN, who carry our programs, like other Catholic radio apostolates around the country, working with EWTN to get the word out. Many of these Catholic radio apostolates, like Ave Maria Radio, have local programs that are making a difference in the community. That's why it's so important, as we always say on this radio show, and Al always talks about, is you need to support both your local Catholic radio apostolates and EWTN, because we're working together on this, and we're working together to make a difference. But we can't do it without you. We need your support. And in light of this victory, I wanted to read this beautiful email from a listener. As I said, we mentioned this briefly on Al's local hour of the program yesterday, and this woman was listening while she was driving home from work in suburban Detroit. And this is what it's about here, folks. Yes, we want to overturn Roe v. Wade, and absolutely we want to shut down all of the abortion mills across the country and around the world. But we have to change hearts. That's what really is going to make a difference and being witnesses, understanding the issues. That's why we talk about it so much here. Because people have been so desensitized through the culture, and they don't understand the fallout of abortion. Not just the killing of the innocent child, but the impact that it has on so many other things. But listen to this email. Teresa, I just wanted to let you know that I had to pull over on the side of the highway last evening on my way home from work when you mentioned that the abortion clinic isn't going to open in suburban Detroit. I was so overwhelmed that I started crying so hard I couldn't drive. I hate to say that. A year ago, I was, quote, pro-choice. I was like Michigan's governor, a Catholic that would never, quote, unquote, have an abortion myself, but I can't decide for others. You and your radio program opened my eyes, made me see my errors, and completely converted me to pro-life. And she has pro-life in all capitals, exclamation point. Thank you for your station. I never miss a morning on my way to work. Don't ever stop talking about pro-life items. Thanks be to God and the Blessed Mother. You have saved lives. God bless you and Dr. Monica Miller. What a beautiful email. Thank you so much. And this was a woman who was listening to Al and I talk about this yesterday on Al's program regarding the shutting down of one abortion mill. You folks have a big involvement in all of this by supporting us, by whether you're supporting Ave Maria, whether you're supporting Immaculate Heart, Guadalupe Radio, Stations of the Cross out in New York, whatever apostolate, support that local apostolate. And please, 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 as Mother Angelica always says, keep EWTN as well between those gas and electric bills. So onward, Christian soldiers. Amen? Amen. Coming up on the program this morning, right after the news, Dr. Pia DeSalenti will check in with us. And then, speaking of Catholic radio, at the bottom of the hour, it will be a special treat. We will talk to someone else who's working very hard to promote Catholic radio in Ohio, Bill Schienberger. And he's also going to talk about his work in the pro-life movement through a company called BOGO Wines. It's a great way to witness while you're entertaining or giving a gift, let's say for a birthday or Christmas. And these bottles of wine are so beautiful because on the back they have the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. On some and others is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So this is a really cool way to witness, not only about the faith, but about the pro-life issues. And we'll tell you all about BOGO Wines with Bill Schienberger. That is at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, about 7 minutes past the hour, we do want to check your news on a Thursday morning. Well, there's been some drilling progress toward rescuing the six miners trapped in a Utah mine. That's a word from Bob Murray, the head of the company that operates the collapsed mine. Yesterday, he said efforts to drill a 2.5-inch hole have progressed to the point that the trapped miner should be found within 48 hours.
It could be a matter of just inches. So I caution you that while we're now optimistic because of the 450-foot advance that we'll be there in 2 days, we've done everything in our power to position that drill will intersect the cavity where the people are.
He says the hole would allow rescuers to communicate with the miners, ventilate the mine shaft, and provide food for the miners if they're still alive. Murray says he only has two concerns, the welfare of the trapped miners and the welfare of their families, and getting them through what he called this very traumatic situation. The president expressing his thoughts and prayers about the trapped miners in Utah before addressing the economy in a speech at the Treasury Department. The president offering federal assistance to Utah Governor John Huntsman as the search continues for the six trapped miners in Huntington, Utah. In a later interview on Fox News Channel, Bush dismissed suggestions that the U.S. abandoned mining. He called coal a legitimate energy source and cited its importance in the diversification of the American energy supply as the U.S. tries to wean off of oil. The president, meanwhile, offering an upbeat assessment of the economy in that visit to the Treasury Department. Correspondent Terry Moore has that story.
After a summit with his top economic advisors, the president said the national economy is thriving.
We care a lot about whether our fellow citizens are working, whether or not they got money in their pockets to save, spend, or invest as they see fit.
And he defended his tax cuts, which he argued have helped average Americans.
And the American people have used this money to fuel an economic resurgence.
President Bush pressed Congress to pass a slew of annual budget bills by October 1st. That's when the new fiscal year starts. He again threatened to veto several of those budget bills if they exceed spending thresholds that he has requested. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
At the Wednesday public audience yesterday, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, continuing a series of talks about the early church by discussing St. Gregory, the 4th century theologian who became Bishop of Constantinople. St. Gregory, he said, is known to the Eastern churches as Gregory the Theologian, was a friend and follower of St. Basil. The Holy Father explained he sought solitude to strengthen the prayer life, and the Holy Father also observed that he hoped to quiet his senses and leave the bodily world by entering the monastic life. The Pope said the saint loved to leave behind the things of this world and enter into intimate communion with God, so that the depths of his soul became like a mirror reflecting divine light. The Holy Father encouraging those who attended his Wednesday audience yesterday to learn from the example of St. Gregory and see the world from the perspective of faith in God. The Pope said fidelity and trust in God are the necessary basis on which a healthy human society is built. The Holy Father stressing, without God, man cannot rise to greatness. Without God, there could be no true humanism. LifeNews.com reporting a leading pro-life advocate saying the new trend in state legislation toward requiring abortion practitioners to allow women to see an ultrasound image of their unborn child prior to the abortion is changing hearts and also saving lives. Gary Bauer, the former GOP presidential candidate, says more states should follow that lead. Ultrasound images, by the way, of course, have worked in pregnancy centers. When women see an amazing picture of their baby, they typically realize abortion is the worst decision they could make. And this July, Mississippi and Georgia becoming the latest states to help women see a picture of their unborn child, something abortion facilities don't normally show. The head of the Knights of Columbus giving a keynote speech at the Catholic Group's annual conference in Tennessee this week, saying the organization would continue to promote the pro-life perspective on issues such as abortion and embryonic stem cell research. Supreme Knight Carl Anderson saying the group will never get involved in partisan politics, but will be active in the public arena, letting people know human life should be protected. CNS reporting that Anderson said the group's position against abortion was one of the most important ones in the group's 125-year history. Well, 14 manufacturers of mobile homes and travel trailers are being sued by more than 500 Louisiana residents. We learn why from correspondent Dave Brannon.
The residents claim the temporary housing provided by FEMA has had adverse effects on their health. Attorney Tony Busby claims in the suit that the defendants opted to use materials that contain high levels of formaldehyde rather than those with the usual low levels of the toxic chemical because of the rush to manufacture the housing units in the wake of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Dave Brannon, New Orleans.
A news conference slated for tomorrow regarding the Virginia Tech shootings in April. State and University police say they will be releasing new details about those shootings. They will also set the record straight, they say, regarding other pieces of information already circulating in the public. The investigation into the shootings is still continuing even today. Tomorrow's press conference will be held at 10:30 in the morning Eastern Time. And the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee planning to hold a hearing in September or October, possibly, to look into safety and security issues at the nation's bioterrorism labs. Don Dornburg has that report.
A power failure at a CDC infectious disease lab in Atlanta is one of several incidents that's prompting the inquiry. Some members of Congress are voicing concern that there is not enough oversight for the biolab building boom that began in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. The CDC's Level 3 labs were in operation when lightning knocked out the building's power for an hour. Because of tripped breakers, the backup generators never came on. Congressman Tom Davis of Virginia says it's alarming that a bioterrorism lab handling the world's most dangerous germs does not have an effective backup power system. Don Dornberg, Atlanta.
And finally, a new trend developing at colleges across the country because of Facebook.com, the social gathering website. Now, according to USA Today, universities say they're getting an increased amount of room change requests from the parents of students. Stems from the parents going on Facebook and checking out their kids' roommates. One official said the parents cite things like party-related content or sexual orientation. Most colleges admit they don't take action as a result of the parents' requests. Right now, it's 13 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Good to be with you. My name is Teresa Tomeo. Coming up, we check in with Dr. Pia DeSalenni. Stay tuned.
Planning is half the fun of vacations, party, and other special events. However, planning a funeral is rarely at the top of anyone's list. Even though you may not want to think about it, R.J. Nixon Funeral Home in Wyandotte encourages you to consider this. Advanced planning of your funeral saves your family and loved ones from fear during an already stressful time. Plus, advanced planning allows you to have a choice in how your funeral service is handled. R.J. Nixon Funeral Home is known for generations of caring, an active member of the community. That means you can rest assured your family will be treated with the utmost respect and your wishes will be uniquely honored by people who truly care about the well-being of the survivors. Make the choice to have a choice. Advance plan your funeral today. R.J. Nixon Funeral Home in Wyandotte, offering personalized funeral planning at the time of need or in advance, with their tradition of compassion, dignity, and value. To serve your needs, call 734-284-1600.
This program made possible in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Fund family is designed for investors who are looking for financially sound investments in companies that adhere to the core teachings of the Catholic Church. Ave Maria Funds offer well-diversified investment portfolios that choose only companies that do not support abortion, pornography, or non-marital partner benefits. Every stock and bond must meet strict financial criteria set by the portfolio managers and analysts at Schwartz Investment Counsel. For more information or an investor's kit, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or AveMariaFunds.com.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
There is a joy in the journey. There's a light we can love on the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life. Freedom for those who obey.
Love that song. Love his work. Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection on a Thursday morning, almost 17 minutes past the hour. And Pia De Sileni has been on the West Coast for a couple weeks, working very hard and also visiting with family. She's back with us this morning. Hey, girlfriend, how are you?
Hi, it's good to be back.
I'm
piling through all these boxes from our move.
Yeah, how are you getting settled in Philly?
Yeah, slowly but surely. I just wish I could kind of, you know, wiggle my nose and it would be done.
You ever notice that when you move, how much you can actually live without?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Except there's one box that has some kitchen things in it that I absolutely cannot find. And I've unpacked every kitchen thing and every living room thing, and it's not with the book. So the only other possibility is that it's in with my office stuff.
All right. Well, St. Anthony, please come around. Pia needs her kitchen tools. They cannot be found.
That's right.
That should work, hopefully. All right. So a couple things we want to talk about this morning. I know that you found a very interesting story that you wanted to reflect upon having to do with a Down syndrome child.
That's right. In this month's issue of Vanity Fair, there's a story about Arthur Miller, the playwright who wrote The Crucible and mm-hmm. Death of a Salesman.
Right.
He's also famous for marrying Marilyn Monroe. I think that was marriage number two. With marriage number three, he had his third and fourth children. And his fourth child actually was born with Down syndrome, and the mother wanted to keep him, but apparently Miller insisted that the child be institutionalized, which was common practice at the time. I mean, I think it was 1964 or sometime, and that's what people did. They put kids, you know, kids that had Down syndrome or any other difficulties, they put them in institutions. And the mother continued to visit the child, but he never acknowledged the child. And later in life, he met the child and began to acknowledge him. And at the, before he died in 2004, before he died in 2004, he recognized this child as a full heir with, you know, so he got an equal share as the other three children. And the article just reflects on, you know, why did he do this and interviews people around him. And there's some very nice, I thought, touching reflections on Down's children. And one woman, I think, was a relative of his who had a Down syndrome child, and she said, you know, or had a Down syndrome sibling, and she said, you know, he was spoiled. We loved him to death, and it wasn't that he was helpless. He was different, but he wasn't helpless. And so I think the article does a fair job of exploring the issue, but I think what's fascinating is that the son has no, you know, anybody that's met the son says there's just absolutely no trace of bitterness, and that he's just a very happy, almost supernaturally happy child, who's just happy with whatever he's been given. He's grateful for everything, you know, and doesn't have a sense that he missed out, or if he does, he doesn't communicate it. And it's just, when he met his own father, you know, just, it wasn't like he came with all this baggage of where were you, you should have been there, da-da-da-da-da. No, he just encountered him as, for who he was at that point in time. And I think what struck me there, one of the things that really struck me with the article, the author said that, I'll just read it.
Okay.
She writes, "But Miller's behavior also raises more complicated questions about the relationship between his life and his art. A writer used to being in control of narratives, Miller excised a central character who didn't fit the plot of his life as he wanted it to be. Whether he was motivated by shame, selfishness, or fear, or more likely, all three, Miller's failure to tackle the truth created a hole in the heart of his story. What that cost him as a writer is hard to say now, but he never wrote anything approaching greatness after Daniel's birth." That's his son. "One wonders if in his relationship with Daniel, Miller was sitting on his greatest unwritten play."
Wow.
And I just think this is very powerful. I mean,
what a statement.
Yeah, in essence, like not accepting what came to you in life, you know, and in this case, we're not talking about abortion, but we're simply talking about not accepting this child into your life, that somehow it stifled his own creativity and his own, ultimately his own vocation. I think we would say that his vocation was, you know, a central part of his vocation was as a playwright. He was tremendous. And yet, he doesn't produce anything noteworthy after that point. And that's a long time to, you know, that's a long time to go without doing anything noteworthy, particularly when you have that type of talent. And if you can cite this one event in the person's life that seems to be, you know, the fulcrum on which this all rests, it's very powerful.
You know, it is very powerful. It's very important, as you always say, to raise these types of questions in these types of publications.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it gets people thinking. And, you know, the thinking on Down syndrome, I mean, on the one hand, we have, you know, what is it, 80% of all Down syndrome babies being aborted before they're born. And on the other hand, we have these children that are being born, they're accepted into homes, whether their own or adoptive. And, you know, they're saying that with the right education and the right formation, these kids can increase their IQ level by 15. Now we have Down syndrome kids finishing high school, going on to college. There's the actor, the famous actor, I can't recall his name offhand, but, he, you know, a Down syndrome kid. And, you know, these people are living their lives and getting on with it. And so is everybody else, getting mm-hmm. on with life. So, you know, we do have the fact that so many children are being aborted because of this condition, and yet on the other hand, there is an awareness that there's something, you know, very worthwhile in these people and that they just need time and attention and love like the rest of us.
It's interesting that this writer points out that he suppressed this gift of this child, of this son, and the impact that it had on him as a writer, because when you suppress the natural, you know what I'm saying, in terms of what God has given you,
right,
the results are not good. Going against
no.
God's plan. Wow.
No.
Amazing that it's in Vanity Fair.
Well, you know, you find these gems. And for a while, several years ago, I noticed that Vanity Fair seemed to run an issue every month which involved somebody that mentioned their Catholic identity. And, you know, I just think it's interesting to see where this is all going. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'd like to see where it's going.
But see, that's how you change hearts, though, when you raise the questions. You know, and
yes.
raise these issues. And, you know, that's the thing that we have to do. We have to remember the bottom line. Obviously, we do this through the Holy Spirit. But, you know, is to get people to think about these things, to really think and not just accept the rhetoric that's out there and just go, you know, with what, you know, the culture is saying. When you put articles out there like this about prominent people who are, quote unquote, respected, you know, for their craft and the things
mm-hmm.
that they faced or may have ignored and not owned up to, whatever the case may be, this is a way to get people to think about this whole issue in a much broader term.
It is, and I kind of wish, you know, the author was not able to interview the son, Daniel, basically found out about him through people who know him, and, you know, he sounds like an impressive person in his own right, and really to have been raised in institutions and to then have an awareness that you do have a father, he was just out of the picture, you know, I think it would be incredibly difficult not to have resentment about that and not to really express some type of hurt, and somehow this guy seems to be, you know, beyond that, and he's really moving on. He's, you know, from the time that he was very young, he was just kind of seeing everything as a gift and grateful for everything, which, you know, it serves as a little examination of conscience.
Oh, if we can only all live that way, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another item I wanted to talk to you about this morning from a female perspective, which I found disheartening, is this study that is out now from Glamour Magazine, which was I thought kind of sad, because still in this day and age, even though we're hearing so much about media influence and the negative impact it has, especially on women, you and I, you know, repeatedly talk about the survey that came out, the study that the American Psychological Association did earlier this year on the sexualization of girls. Story that came out this week from Glamour magazine. Half of the over 1,000 women respondents said they want different, you know, they want changes in their body. They want a flatter belly. They want better legs. They want this. They want that. And it said a mere 6% of women that they surveyed are happy with the way they look. And I thought that's really sad.
It is. You know, and I think that there's a fine line. You know, you can understand a woman wanting to be in better shape. You know, we all want, most of us want to be in better shape. That's certainly one of my goals. But when we talk, get to the point where we're talking about people simply not being happy with who they are and thinking that they'll be better if they can take an inch off here and sculpt this and add a little here, it's, you know, it really makes me sad, because we're forgetting so much more of what the human person is.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, recently I just saw a study that the suicide rate for women who have had breast implants is much higher than for the normal population.
Really?
It is. And it, you know, it only makes sense. We're talking about women who, you know, place so much, you know, so much emphasis in their measurements that they don't know themselves. They haven't taken the time to figure out who they are, what really makes them happy. And, you know, the emphasis is simply on these measurements that have been created by a doctor.
Or this image that they think they have to live up to, and then when they get this work done and it doesn't change their lives completely, then they're left to wonder, what is it? You know, what's going on here?
Yeah, and I think there's also just a very scary trend in Hollywood that's affecting, you know, not only young girls, but I think it's affecting women overall, and that is, you know, these ultra-skinny women who, they're just sticks. You know, there's nothing to them, and all for what? I mean, to fit clothes that was designed by, you know, by people that would probably rather see a man in a dress, quite frankly, who's going to have it, you know, that's going to bring a different shape to it. Now, I think it is encouraging that we do see some actresses that are kind of, they're in shape, but they're not sticks, and they're kind of embracing their figures, whether it's full figured or just a nice figure, but, you know, not ultra thin, and they're kind of embracing where they're at and yet being healthy. I think that's a good move.
Absolutely, and we have to see more of that. I want to go back to the phones. Pia, we have some calls coming in. We have a woman who wants to comment on the story you were talking about in Vanity Fair. We have Kathy calling this morning on line one from Ohio. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm terrific. I enjoyed your visit when you came to see us at WILB.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Yep, and I passed your book out, the Noise book, to Hector Oliveira, who is one of the top five organists in the world. I gave him your book on noise. I had the chance to visit with him on an airplane for an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got pictures of him getting the book, and I'll be sending it to you. But I called because I grew up in a family with the youngest sister named Julianne, who was born with Down syndrome in 1963. And we had her for 38 years until she died from a rare form of cancer. But Julianne was the teacher in our family. It turns out that after she left us, we all said, oh, man, we thought we were teaching her. She was actually the glue for our family.
Mm.
And she was born in 1963 when they didn't even have a special ed program for special needs kids. And it turns out that everybody in the family was one of her teachers, but she taught us everything. And Julianne loved everybody. Now, she learned to play the piano because my mom taught her, and she used the names of the kids in the family. She wanted to type, so she learned to write stories. And she eventually graduated from high school and went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to a wonderful place where they work with special needs people, and Julianne got her own apartment.
Wow.
And then got a job in the community, and they wrote news articles about her in the paper, and she actually got to meet Chris Burke, the young man that you spoke about,
oh,
who had
wow.
that Life Goes On.
Right, right.
And I'm a speech therapist now, and I work with kids with special needs, and if you ever needed somebody to fill your bucket, or somebody to show you what real love was, or true love was, or unselfish love is, it would be one of my special needs kids. And Julianne was the first special needs kids we ever had. And then I got to know them, and I work with them and love them. And so if you need glue in your family, it would be a special needs kid who would bring the glue to your family to make you be the person that you're supposed to be, not us making them the person they're supposed to be.
Kathy, what a witness. Isn't that beautiful? I love
that. Kathy, I think you're absolutely right. And I recall one of my roommates was on, two of my roommates in Rome were on pilgrimage in Fatima, and it was the birthday of one of the girls. And the group that they were with, you know, different people, but included a woman and her son who had Down syndrome, and he was 33. And when it came time to toast my friend, he raised his glass and he said to her, this was his birthday wish for her, may you always have the heart of Jesus.
Mm.
And it was very profound, and we were deeply moved. And we ended up meeting this family again when we were in Turin to see the shroud. And we had pizza with the mother and the son in Rome, and it was right when we were having exams. And he said, well, I'll pray for you. And I said, I'm counting on it. And his mother said, no, that means he's going to be on his knees for 2 hours.
Oh.
And I looked at her and I said, yes, that's what I need. But just an utterly sincere person, and as Kathy said, the glue.
Oh, well, thanks, Kathy. Appreciate that reflection. That's beautiful. And thanks for sharing that with us. And Pia, great discussion this morning. Thanks for finding those neat little articles that can really open up people's eyes and hopefully their hearts.
Well, it's fun. It's fun.
Great to talk to you again. And good to have you back on the program. And we're going to pray that you find your kitchen utensils, too.
Thank you very
much. What's an Italian-American woman without her kitchen stuff?
Well, I've got most of it. These are just little things that would make things, you know.
As long as you have your garlic press. Do you have the garlic press?
Oh, I just use a knife. I know.
Oh, okay. All right.
The garlic press is for Sissy's treat. So come on.
All right, that's a whole other discussion on a whole other show.
Next time.
Garlic press versus using a knife. We'll have a discussion. All right, sweetie, God bless you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Great discussion as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, give us your website again. I keep forgetting to have you give that to us.
Oh, it's piadesaleni.com, but
it's
in development. So we need to say a little prayer that I find the time to put the final touches on it. It's all ready to go. There's just some final.
You've got to get it done because people are always emailing me and they want to know more about you. And so I say, well, she's getting a website. So is it up? They can at least go to the homepage?
Not the homepage. They're going to get there and it's a holding. It says,
okay.
You know, work in progress.
Right. So they should just email you then. How about that if they want to contact you?
Yeah, that would be fine. They can email me drpia@gmail.com and it's drpia@gmail.com.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, and we will talk again on another Thursday.
Sounds good. God bless.
Take care. God bless. Dr. Pia DeSalini. Coming up, we're going to have another great conversation, I'm sure, with Bill Schienberger. He is wears many hats as well. He also works in the area of Catholic radio. We'll have him share on that. But he has been in the wine distribution business for over 20 years, selling some of the nation's top brands. But as a committed Catholic and pro-lifer, he wanted to make a difference with wine. So very interesting company called Bogo Wines, and we're going to tell you all about it. And you, too, can use these delicious wines, these wonderful wines, to make a difference. And if you're having a party at home or maybe giving a gift, it's a great way to witness about the pro-life movement and about the Catholic faith. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. It is just about 32 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection.
Hi, this is Nick Tom from Cresta in the Afternoon, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my recent experience with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. As first-time homebuyers, my wife and I were nervous and unsure going into the process, but it wasn't long before Ken had us really at ease. He took the time to become invested in us as people and really get to know our particular situation. Ken presented us with a number of different mortgage options that all addressed our needs in a particular way. By the time we made it to the closing table, we felt educated, secure, and confident that we had gotten the best product available. You see, at Fellowship Home Lending, there was no pressure, no attempt to bump us up over what we could afford. Just a staff that genuinely cared about what was best for us and delivered. So whether it's a first mortgage, refinance, debt consolidation, or home equity loan you need, call Ken at Fellowship Home Lending. Give him a call today, 1-800-660-6433. Once again, that's 800-660-6433. Fellowship Home Lending, where the motto, lend to your neighbor as yourself, is not just catchy words, but a way that they do business.
G.A. Fuchs Church Supply on Stevenson Highway in Madison Heights, just south of 14 Mile Road, is announcing its grand reopening celebration August 13th through the 17th. And on Wednesday the 15th, watch Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo as she does her show live from 8 to 10 a.m. and sign her new book, Noise. Crest in the Afternoon will also be broadcasting live from 4 to 6 p.m. with Al signing his books before his show at 3.
All week, there's free lunches for those that visit from 11 to 1. So enjoy all this plus hourly drawings worth a minimum of $30 while you shop at our newly remodeled store. That's the G.A. Fuchs Church Supply Grand Reopening Celebration, August 13th to the 17th, featuring outdoor statuary, grottos, wedding and baptismal gifts, rosary medals, and much, much more. And while you visit, watch Todd Brouse create a custom mural of some of Detroit's best-loved churches on our humongous 55-foot wall. So don't miss out on this one-week event. G.A. Fuchs Church Supply is full of great inventory and ready for business. Call 248-589-0200. That's 248-589-0200.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's a Thursday morning, August 9th, 2007. I hope you're having a delightful morning so far. Thanks for tuning in to this program, Catholic Connection, heard on EWTN and also, of course, produced by Ave Maria Radio. Again, congratulations to our brother in the Lord, Al Cresta, for 20 years in religious broadcasting. And many of you, if you were listening yesterday afternoon, had the opportunity to kind of tune in and hear what was going on as we were having a big Cresta Fiesta, as we like to say. And we do have tapes of the event, and I know they're going to be sharing some of the presentations that were given last night at the reception, that since if you weren't here in Michigan, you didn't have a chance to be a part of, but we'll share them with you at a later date. Meanwhile, we continue working hard to bring you great stories about people making a difference in the world. And on the phone with me, I have someone that I literally bumped into at the Catholic Marketing Network 2 weeks ago and was so impressed. I had seen the Bogle wines before at various events that I had been at, but I didn't know the man behind the product. And now I do. And I wanted to bring him on because he's got an amazing story. And one of the things I love about being a talk show host and being a reporter is I'm very curious and I'm very nosy, and I love to find out what makes people tick and why they do what they do and how they got into particular, you know, ministries. My husband always says I can't keep a secret. That's why I went into the news business, because I always tell him his Christmas presents long before Christmas. So that's why I wanted to have Bill on the program, Bill Schienberger, to give us his journey. Now, he wears many hats. He's a native of the Cleveland area. He's been a member of St. Margaret Mary's Catholic Church in Ohio for 48 years, a daily communicant devoted to the two hearts, Sacred Heart of our Lord and the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother. He's a member of the Apostle of the Two Hearts, Apostle of the Holy Spirit, third-degree Knights of Columbus, member of the Education Committee at Summit Right to Life, and a board member of Hail Holy Clean Communications, board member of Walking on Water Radio, and a host of his own radio show, Pro-Life Update, and a member of the Cleveland chapter of Legatus, which is the executive business organization started by Tom Monahan. All right, so what do you do in your spare time? Bake cookies or something?
Well, I like to sit around and have some wonderful wine tastings and talk to people about the wonderful...
Oh, forever the salesman.
That's right. You know what? I can't stop working. Good morning, Teresa.
How are you,
bud?
I think this is really a cool story. Let's talk first of all. Now, you've been in the wine distribution business for quite a while, correct?
Yes, for over 20 years. I started in 1985, and I'll never forget that because that's when the 1982 Bordeaux came out.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, wow, what did I get into? But, yeah, it's been a wonderful ride in the wine business, and just really wanted to develop my own portfolio. That was the main reason behind the Bogo Wines.
So, where does the name come from? I know the story, but I want you to share it with our listeners.
Okay, well, a lot of times what you'll hear is BOGO, the buy one, get one. It's a marketing axiom or a marketing tagline for, you know, great buys, great deals, buy one, get one. And what we wanted to do was tie in cause marketing, people supporting a cause that was near and dear to their hearts with a good marketing tagline, which was buy one, give one. So BOGO stands for buy one, give one. We want people to taste the wines and give the wines out. It comes in a two-pack with a wonderful story on the side of the two-pack. You've seen the packaging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also to share the story, which is critical for our efforts and for everybody's efforts as far as people that care about the sanctity of life.
Why did you decide to support this particular area of a life movement in terms of stem cell research, getting people to understand the difference between adult stem cell and embryonic stem cell research?
Well, first of all, I thought that it was going to really be easy, Teresa. I thought that if everybody would look at the benefits of what adult stem cell research could do for them or their family or their neighbors or friends, they say, wow, this is cutting-edge stuff, you know, talk about saving lives from everybody. But then there was also the aspect of the embryos that were being destroyed. And I've always been pro-life. And, you know, as we've all been called to step out into the deep and bring our commitment to life, commitment to our faith into the marketplace, I read a book by the daughter of Dr. Jerome Lejeune, and he's the godfather, basically, of genetics. And I know that right then and there, when I was reading that, I was inspired. It was a Holy Spirit thing. I was inspired to just go out and go to bat for the frozen embryos.
Mm.
And that's what happened. And one thing started, another thing started, another thing happened. But I researched, and I was put in contact with a lot of wonderful people that explained the church's stance, the church's teaching, and the benefits of adult stem cell research. And I thought, oh, my goodness gracious, this is a slam dunk. How can anybody not support this? Well, it's been a real interesting last 2.5 years, believe me.
Really?
Yes. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about where, I know that it has been accepted in many circles. I know, of course, the pro-life message is always a tough one out in this culture that's been so desensitized. But what I love about the bottles is you really don't have to say anything. You just give the wine. And the images that are on the bottle, I think, are very, very significant, too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And this vintage, the 2006 vintage, which I have to say is fantastic. Well, you've tasted the wine yourself.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very good wine. And people are always amazed at the quality of the wine and saying, this is pro-life also. But what we did was we put an icon of Our Lady of Guadalupe on the back label, because we're also convinced over at BOGO Wines that a lot of Americans don't read. And if you take a look at the back of the label, where it says we support adult stem cell research, funding, and education, a lot of people will see, hopefully they'll connect the dots between adult stem cell research, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and say, okay, this is pro-life, adult stem cell research. So we've done that. Yeah, the bottle and then the packaging also is really a primer on the benefits of adult stem cell research. I had Dr. Wilkie from Life Issues Institute read the package before we went to press to do the twin pack, the packaging, the BOGO pack, if you will. And Dr. Wilkie looked at me and he said, Mr. Schneeberger, you have explained very simply and succinctly the benefits of adult stem cell research. God bless you. I hope things work out great for you. Yeah, so it was really, and to hear somebody like that, I mean, he's one of my heroes. You know, I mean, when you start looking at the pro-life movement, here's a guy that's been walking the walk for years, so.
Now, I think you mentioned also, and I just had him on my program yesterday in my local hour in Michigan, Father, and he is a doctor and Father Tad Poholchek of the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Is he familiar with this?
No, you know what? As a matter of fact, I've always been in the other room when something has happened with Father Poholchek. As a matter of fact, just over the weekend, I got to meet Father Frank Pavone and spent some time with him. I was at the Conference of Catholic Bishops. They had the pro-life Directors Conference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we all drank BOGO wine, so it was a real nice
That was great. So you had a chance, because Father, as you know, is on the program every Wednesday, so you had a chance to talk with him, correct?
Absolutely. And he thought, oh, my goodness, he goes, I heard about this. But, you know, I mean, once again, it was one of these things where it takes a little bit of time for people to get the information out. But as far as Father Poholchek, I'd love to meet him, because once again, what he has done for the pro-life business in general, for our Catholic faith, but especially for the stem cell research issue, because I know from listening from talks from him, how he hits it right on the head as far as explaining it to the masses, if you will, because it's so critical. It's so critical because, Teresa, I also go out and give speeches myself, and I'll ask people at pro-life functions, before I even go in and give my presentation, I ask them, now, how many people feel simply that they could explain the stem cell issue to their friends, neighbors, coworkers, or business partner? And probably only 10 to maybe 20% of the pro-life people at a wine tasting presentation feel comfortable with the information about stem cell research.
Sure, that's why your work in having that simple explanation on the packaging, and also, you know, getting that support from Dr. Wilkie, and also, you know, having Father Frank Pavone look at this, that's so important, because we have to be able to explain this in a simple way. And Father Tad, I think, is one of the best in terms of adult versus embryonic. He spoke in Michigan last year, and he's speaking again. He's got two events coming up in Michigan. And I took, I think, like 6 pages of notes from him. But the way he explains it is such a simple, direct way. And he has a degree in molecular biology. And I mean, like 4 or 5 degrees. He is a doctor, you know, and he also is, of course, a very well-educated priest. But he explains it in a way that, that we can all understand, and that's what we have to do. We have to be able to pass this on to people so they can understand it.
And it's critical. And I mean, I'm convinced that we have to be able to explain this and have our pro-life volunteers, workers, and people that are sympathetic to the pro-life movement feel comfortable with the explanation. And they can do that by just even reading the twin pack, you know, the information contained in the two hearts. But so they can be equipped to go out and speak to the people out on the street that may just only get their information from, you know, the secular media.
Sure.
And it's a challenge, but it's also an honor and a pleasure to be able to work with people and to see changes being made from just a certain little effort that may have been.
Now, I imagine this was somewhat of a sacrifice for you, too, because the wine industry, of course, with all the Food Network and all these different, you know, culinary magazines that are so popular and websites, it's a very lucrative business, and you probably could have stayed in and continued to make, you know, oodles and noodles of money. So this must be a little bit of a sacrifice for you.
Well, you must have been talking to my wife. No, it is, but it's also much more
satisfying.
Rewarding. Absolutely, because yeah. I mean, I used to sell a lot of wine to a lot of people. I was the key contact salesperson and director for all the major accounts like Sam's Club, Costco,
mm-hmm.
all the major buyers. So when I went in there, you'd sell them a lot and you'd make a lot of money. And now that I realize that BOGO is not going to be mainstream for at least a few years, hopefully someday people will realize the benefits of what's going on. But I really didn't know what was going to happen as far as down the road. This was not my business plan. I had figured that my business plan had 90% of my time I was going to be selling fine wine,
mm-hmm.
and 10% of my time I was going to be explaining maybe the nuances of stem cell research to a few people, because maybe the news wouldn't get it correct. And it's flip-flopped. I spend probably more of my time doing the stem cell research. I know I do, 90% of that. And then also saying to people, hey, you know what? It's good wine, too.
Well, you know, the old saying is, Bill, if you want to make God laugh, make plans, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, listen, we're going to take a break. Got some folks calling in and want more information on the company. Is the best way to go to the Internet, to the website?
Yes, BOGOWines.com.
Okay, BOGOWines.com. Again,
correct.
That's BOGOWines.com. We've got Sue calling from Michigan. If you have a question about the product or a question maybe about Bill's ministry, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, 46 minutes past the hour.
Drive and fly this summer with Michigan Catholic Credit Union. MCCU has everything you need for your car loan package. Start by choosing one of the many loan options. There's MCCU's Driving Sense program, which is a better alternative to leasing. Or you can borrow for a new, used, and classic car with terms up to 84 months. Next, include one or all of our insurance options. GAP, Mechanical Breakdown Insurance, Credit Life, and Disability Insurance. Then lastly, MCCU members are eligible for a special group discount on auto insurance. If you act now, you can either choose scorecard bonus points or your MCCU Visa or a companion airline ticket. Get ready to drive and fly at MCCU. It's easy. Apply online at mishcatcu.org or call 1-866-NOW-MCCU. Some restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good morning. My name is Carl Brenner, and I am the Clinical Director of Brenner Prosthetic Specialists. Since 1944, three generations of the Brenner family have been helping patients who have undergone amputation surgery to lead more active lives by using the most innovative prosthetic technology to custom design and build artificial limbs. With 63 years of experience and our use of the most advanced interactive procedures, we can guarantee the fit of your new prosthesis. Let me repeat that. If you determine that the new prosthesis we have custom designed and built to your personal specifications is not any better than your previous artificial limb, we guarantee that Brenner Prosthetic Specialists will not bill you or your insurance company for any medically necessary services provided to you. If you would like to learn more about our No Better, No Bill prosthetic guarantee, please arrange for a free consultation by calling Brenner Prosthetic Specialists at 800-451-LIMB. That's 800-451-LIMB, 800-451-5462. Thank you for listening.
It's a Thursday morning. It's Catholic Connection, coast to coast, and of course around the world, thanks to EWTN, Global Catholic Radio and Television. Thursday night, of course, means on EWTN you are going to see Life on the Rock, and on Friday evenings you will see at 10 Eastern Defending Life. Life on the Rock is Thursdays at 8 o'clock Eastern. And speaking of the life issues, with Father Pravona Janet coming up tomorrow night on Defending Life on EWTN, we're talking with a gentleman who was very involved in Defending Life, and I love hearing people's stories about how they got involved in various ministries. And Bill Schienberger is our guest, and wearing many hats, and he's involved in a company called Bogo Wines. He's been a wine distributor for a long, long time, and really decided, God put it on his heart, to really speak out about the stem cell issue, explaining to people adult versus embryonic stem cell research. And now he's tying this in with his gifts as a wine distributor, as a salesperson, and the company is called Bogo Wines, BOGOWines.com. And we've got some calls coming in from around the country. Let's go first to Sue, calling from Michigan this morning on line one. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Teresa. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling.
This is awesome, because we're trying to get some new life in our little groups, you know, to save lives. And I could just see you coming to a parish and doing a explanation and a wine tasting, and I'm thinking, how do I do that? You know, I'm here in Michigan, but where are you?
I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, okay. And all you have to do is call. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be going out this October to the Catholic Physicians Association in Modesto, California, and they want me to come out and do a wine tasting and do the cause marketing aspects in my presentation. So all you have to do, Sue, is call me. My phone number is right on the front of the website,
okay.
But I'll give it to you. It's 330-607-4433, and you'll just get right through to me, and we'll work it out.
Hey, Bill, I got to tell you, and Teresa, a bunch of us went to this legislative day in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, April maybe, and I met this little boy, and they had his picture up for the PowerPoint as four cells, and he was donated. He was given up because these people had him frozen, and he was adopted, and he was 2 years old. I mean, mm-hmm. I met this baby. It was so cool.
And this was it at the Right to Life Legislative Conference?
Right,
yeah,
right. It was right. So cool. You looked over, there he was, and there he was on the screen with his first baby picture. I mean, it just blew me away.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank
Very
you,
cool.
Sue.
Okay, again, the website is bogowines.com, BOGOWines.com. Let's go to Marianne from Philadelphia. Hey, Marianne, good morning.
Good morning. So timely, Bill. I just received a letter yesterday from my representative in Washington. I had written to him about stem cell research, and I don't know where our representatives get their information, but none of this is trickling to them according to this letter. He doesn't seem to understand that there are cures. He keeps telling me that there's more promise with embryonic.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to buy some of your wines and take them down to his local office.
Well, absolutely. Well, just so you know, Marianne and Teresa, I have been to Washington, D.C. for two events with the Conference of Catholic Bishops and Do No Harm, the Americans for Research Ethics, twice in the last year, and we have actually done wine tastings for members of Congress and the Senate and their aides to try to educate them. And some of them are getting it. Now, I don't know how well it's done, but we're still not paying federal taxes. What we've done is brought in patients to give their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually see those videos on the website. So it's pretty neat. The Bogo Wines has been to Washington now three times with the Conference of Catholic Bishops and then that. So, yeah, please, I mean, put the wine right there and say, here's a present, read it.
That's exactly right. And he's a Catholic, so that's, he'll know who Our Lady of Guadalupe is.
Absolutely.
He better.
Right.
All right.
Well,
thank you so much.
Very much.
All right.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Marianne. Again, yeah. The website is bogowines.com, BOGOWines.com. Got to ask you, how did you get into Catholic radio? How did that happen, Bill?
Well, I have to, I was going through a certain period of my life when I was very open to reconversion. And we used to have a Catholic radio station in Cleveland, Ohio, and it since went off the air. And when it went off the air, I had promised our Lord that I would like to help get that message back out, because it was very instrumental
mm-hmm.
in grace, healing, and openness for myself. And so ever since that day, I've been working with this group and that group, and I love Catholic radio. Well, yeah, Teresa, if it wasn't for Catholic radio, people would not know any of the issues that we're talking about right now.
Right.
So, but anyway,
it's amazing because we just had, I don't know if you heard the top of the program at 9 o'clock, but at Eastern time, but we had a situation in Michigan where because of an interview that we had with one of our most prominent pro-life activists, Dr. Monica Miller, mm-hmm. we were able to close down an abortion mill that was planning on moving into a suburban medical building.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, when you put the issues out there and you give people the information and the tools, they go out there and they make a difference. I mean, this was an interactive thing where we put the information out there. People made calls. The companies that were connected didn't even know that this was the plans for this particular building, and they were very upset about it. They got involved. It was amazing in a matter of 2 days what happened.
And if I can, might add that if people would like to sit down with some BOGO wines with some people, they can be assured of the quality of the wine, as you have been. But you know what? When we taste wine and we talk to people about life issues, first of all, we're meeting people one-to-one, eye-to-eye, and what we're doing is really sharing a wonderful message, and we're also letting people know that pro-life people, Catholics, don't have three heads. We enjoy ourselves. We like to have
fun.
In
moderation, of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. These mm-hmm. are dinner wines, you know, and they're not overly expensive, but they're too expensive for people that would want to use them to abuse. But no, I think it's just it's wonderful when you see the results of what everyone is doing in the pro-life movement.
So what do you think? You mentioned earlier what you'd like to see overall for this company. Where would you like to see this and go? What do you think?
Well, I would like to actually see. Now, here's an example. In China, they now are going to, in 2008, they're going to bring over 50 Christopher Reeve-type patients for adult stem cell research because they want to corner the market. They want market share in dollars from adult stem cell research. The same thing's happening in Bangkok. The same thing's happening in Spain, because they realize the benefits of adult stem cell research. Now, we got to admit that China is not what you would call the most compassionate nation in the world, right? But they realize where the success is and where they can make money. I would actually like to see people realize the benefits of adult stem cell research. So if somebody has a heart condition, if somebody has some type of diabetes, where they're making advancements right now that are blowing every other type of research out of the water, people could support this, not only to save embryos, but to save people that are sitting across the table from them, because this adult stem cell research, even though it's gotten a black eye from the mainstream media, Teresa, is fabulous. What mm-hmm. this can do for people is amazing. That's why Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI are so enthused, and so they were so far behind us, especially Pope John Paul II. And then when they actually become mainstream with BOGO, then we can catechize them to the two hearts. So we can get them on one end or get them on the other.
Well, when you got the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, let me tell you, you got some powerful
stuff there. Something's going to happen.
Bill, God bless you, my friend. Looking forward to being interviewed by you in a couple of weeks and all the work that you do for the Life Movement. God bless you. The company is BOGOWines.com. Check it out, BOGOWines.com. Have a great weekend, Bill.
Gotcha. Bye-bye.
Coming up tomorrow, Janet Miranda and a very interesting testimony about a young man who left Hollywood to start a ministry of television media for kids. His name is Brian Shields. We'll tell you all about it. Have a great day.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. Pardon the pun, but the savings will floor you at Independent Carpet One in Westland. They're having a crazy days of summer blowout sale with crazy savings on all in-stock inventory.
Plus no payments and no interest for one full year.
The sale will be on for one day only,
August 18th from 10 to 5.
The discounts will increase as the day goes on, but the selection will decrease. With everything first come, first serve, and no hold tags or special reserves. Shop between 10 and noon to save 10%, and between noon to 2, save 20%. From 2 to 3, 30%. From 3 to 4, 40%. Till they finally reach 50% between 4 and 5. But remember, the discounts apply to in-stock inventory only. So when something's gone,
it's really gone.
Decide what you want and when to shop and make your best deal during the crazy days of summer blowout sale.
August 18th from 10 to 5.
At Independent Carpet One.
On North Wayne Road in Westland.
Call now for a free pre-measure. 734-729-6200. That's 734-729-6200.
Hi, this is Mike Carr, owner of Vapas Express.
Father Xavier from Middle East pointed out to me how early Christians supported each other. I feel the people who live and work in the Detroit area should do the same. All companies use office supplies, printing, and office furniture. If you can get the same or better pricing on your office needs, why wouldn't you support a company that supports local Catholic causes, such as this radio station? We save businesses money, even when competing with the largest companies in